You thankful for the Lord tonight? Amen, amen. You may be seated. If this is your first time worshiping with us here at Calvary Gospel Church, whether here in person or online, so glad you joined with us this evening. We should have received a connection card as you came in the doors. Just a few points of information. We'd love for you to fill it out so we can connect with you. If you're online, there's a bit.ly link that you can see on your screen right now. And you can follow that link and same points of information. We'd love to connect with you as well. A few announcements this evening. First, actually, our giving. You have many options to give. You can give by mail. You can put a check, some funds in the kiosk out at the in the plexiglass out, box out at the kiosk. You can go to our church center app or online. Many different ways to give cheerfully unto the Lord. Amen. 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 Oh, before I forget, many people asked whether I found some shark teeth Sunday. That probably would have been a really good point to add, like the guarantee that you'll find shark teeth. If you weren't here Sunday, go listen to the message. I did, six of them, six small ones. So anyways, you will find the Lord if you search, amen, and find the answers, amen. Just like I found shark teeth, amen. So moving on, this Friday, all church prayer at 7 p.m. You don't want to miss it. It's going to be a great time seeking the Lord together as a church family. And then this Saturday, kind of a last-minute thing, but we need to do some gardening out there in our gardens, our fall cleanup in the gardens with Sister Debbie and Sister Lois. And if you're available, they're going to be out there 9 a.m. to noon. And just bring some gardening equipment, rake and gloves and stuff like that, and prunes, pruner thingies. And you know I do a lot of that. That's called pruner thingies. And so come on out, 9 a.m. to 12, be a good time of fellowship and hanging out and also working and beautifying our grounds. And we appreciate anyone who can come out this Saturday. Amen. If you would stand with me, we're going before the Lord in prayer. It is currently General Conference down in Orlando, Florida. And many of our pastors are down there, and lots of folks are there from around the country. We just want to pray that God would have his way over the next few nights. If you're available or able to in the next two nights, they do stream the services. Don't ask me where, but I believe on the UPCI Facebook page, I believe, you can head there. Search for those. The great services, inspiring, challenging messages, and would encourage that over the next couple nights if you're available to do that. But we want to pray for all that is going on down there. And as our church folks travel back, we want them to be safe as they travel home. Amen for this Sunday. Amen. Let's go before the Lord in prayer tonight. We thank you so much, God, for your goodness. We thank you, Lord God, that your grace is enough for us, God. That, Lord God, you care about us, Lord. Lord God, you have favor upon our lives, Lord God, unmerited favor. We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. But, Lord God, you show us that favor. Show us that love. You lead us and guide us, the divine leading of our hearts. We're thankful for your grace, Lord God, in all areas. God, I pray, anoint each person in this place tonight, those who may be sick tonight and can't make it, God. I pray you minister, God, Jesus, healing, God. You know the needs represented here tonight. Minister, God, in a mighty way. Touch, Lord, General Conference. All those who are down there, Lord God, Lord God, your anointing would reign. God, you'd keep people safe as they drive home, God, fly home, Lord, all across this nation, God. We're so thankful, God. We want to build our lives upon you, Lord Jesus, God. Build our lives, Lord, upon your word, Lord Jesus, upon what you say, Lord, for us to do, God. I pray, Lord, help us as we draw close to you, Lord. We promise that you'll draw nigh to us tonight, God. Let's give them a hand clap of praise and thanksgiving. We're so thankful, God. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Let's worship together tonight.
Jesus, the only one. that the truth? There is nothing better than Jesus. Jesus is the best thing that has ever happened to me. Thank you, Jesus, for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. Thank you, God, that we can call upon your great name. Jesus, we love you and we praise you. Jesus, you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the great I Am. And Lord, whatever it is tonight that we need, we know, God, that you have the answer. I don't know how, I don't know when, but I know, God, that you have the answer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And you may be seated. I thank the Lord for that song. That's a powerful song. I think that might be the first time I heard it. But when we recognize what's out in our world and in our lives and the things that we are facing, God can do it. God can do anything. Anything. And tonight, I sought the Lord, and I feel in my heart that God has given me a word for tonight. And I'm just going to share what he put on my heart. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live." And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also, which had diseases in the island, came and were healed, who also honored us with many honors. When we departed, they laded us with such things as were necessary. Acts 28:3-10. Lord, I ask you right now to speak to our hearts. God, as this word goes forth, you said, God, that your word would not come back void. You wrote this word, and God, I pray that as I open up my heart, open up my mouth for you, that, Lord, the unction and the anointing of your spirit would rest upon every word. Shut my mouth. Lord, let your word to go forth. Jesus, I pray for every hearer. I pray, God, that our hearts would be open to hear, to receive what you have for us tonight. And God, that strongholds would be broken, that yokes would be loosed. And God, that we would find in this place tonight that which you have for your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you imagine sitting at a fire? Just the other night, Kevin and I were sitting out on our deck, and we had his new solo whatever grill, not grill, but fire pit going, and it was putting off some good heat. And we sat there for quite a while, and I had to get up for something. And when I got up and I walked away, I noticed how cold it was. It was pretty chilly. And I said, "Boy, it's really cold when you get away from the fire." And my husband said, "Boy, wouldn't that preach?" And all of a sudden, I thought about that. And I kid you not, when I thought more and more about that, the message for tonight is to stay close to the fire. Stay close to the fire. Paul was sitting around at that fire, and when he gathered up the bundle of sticks and he laid them in the fire, the viper came out because of the heat. Now, that viper got on Paul's arm, and Paul didn't sit there and say, "Oh, no, what am I going to do? The viper, it's on my arm." No, instead, Paul just flung it off into the fire and went on about his business, and God took care of him. Why did not Paul respond, oh, what am I going to do? Or how am I going to handle this? Or because Paul had been close to the fire. Paul had been in the presence of God. This was a continual daily walk, relationship with God. Paul responded, I suppose maybe men would have handled it that way. I don't know, where's my husband? Maybe that's how guys are, and Paul just responded that way. But I feel like if a viper got a hold of you that you knew would kill you, I think there'd be a little bit of panic in all of us. But you see, Paul's response was one of faith, but survival. God desires to do the miraculous, but we have to stay close to the fire. Last week, I got to go up to Minnesota for a prayer conference, and we had Brother Campitella that was there, and he was talking to us about grace and favor. And he said that there's a difference between grace and favor. He said grace is because God loves us. Grace is for everyone. Grace is salvation. It is what God did on Calvary while we were yet sinners. But favor is because we love him. I thought about that for a while, and I thought, I wonder what he's going to say in addition to loving God. He went on to explain that many times we aren't willing to do what God is asking us to do. We aren't willing to sacrifice our time, our finances, our daily routines, our worries, our concerns. We see that there's a need, but we kind of pass it by. We choose to be busy. And I do believe that 2020 was a year for our family to slow down. I thank God for 2020. I really do. Because I feel like I drew closer to my children. I feel like there were some needs that I needed to meet within my own family. Because, see, we can get so busy doing what we know we need to do that the person sitting in front of us, we totally don't see them. We don't even know they have a need. We don't realize that our Sunday school is lacking teachers. We don't realize that the church needs to be cleaned or the garden needs to be tended to or that the person that's sick in the hospital needs a visitor. Or you get that wake-up call at 1:30 in the morning for somebody who needs to go to the emergency room. Because we can become so busy being kingdom-minded, which, yes, we are to be kingdom-minded. And to be kingdom-minded, that means we must participate to be in the part of the kingdom. We cannot be partakers unless we participate. We are not to be spectators. This is our church, our body, our brothers, our sisters. We belong to one another in one body. And God desires to do the miraculous. But in order to do that, there's some things that we have to do. That's the favor. And because we love him, we follow his word. We do it simply because God said to do it. We've got to be kingdom-minded. The church is all about taking territory. Would you agree? We've got to take back some territory. We want his name to be established, not our name, not Calvary Gospel, but Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Is he tonight on the throne in your life, in your home? Is he tonight in our church? I have to examine my own heart. And I have to understand that when I go to work, I am not my own. When there are things that are happening around me, do I partake of what's going on in there, or do I look to the Lord? And do I establish the territory? Do I get there ahead of time? I think I shared this with you when I talked to you on prayer, but my husband goes to work very early in the morning. is usually out the door by 6. But he likes to get there before everybody else does because he prays. He prays for his coworkers. He prays for the clinic. He prays for the people that are coming in. He gets his thoughts together. Because that's the field that God has given him to labor in. That's where he gets his manna. God blesses those people because of what we do. He does. Jacob, when Jacob went to work for Potiphar, God blessed Potiphar. This is what God does. So we want to establish the kingdom. We are victorious. We are going to come up against opposition. How many in here have not faced any opposition this week? Anybody? I kind of thought I wouldn't see one hand. Because I can tell you we are not in an oppositional-less world. I don't know if that's really a word. But we will all face opposition. The question is, how are we going to face it? And what are we going to do when it comes? Are we going to hide our heads? Or are we going to stand up to the enemy and take back the territory? We need to have a kingdom mission. We have to have a kingdom mind. And more important, we have to have a kingdom purpose. Without a purpose, without a burden, we aren't going to pray and we aren't going to have a mission. If you don't have a burden, pray. Ask God. Lord, give me a burden. He will give you a burden. He will give you a burden. And then what will you do with the burden? It's time that we let the enemy know where we stand. Where do we stand in our homes? Devil, give me back my family. Give me back my children. Give me back my neighbors. Give me back my city. God did not accidentally put Calvary Gospel Church here in Madison by accident. It was according to his plan. It was according to his purpose. And even bigger, all of you, he did not accidentally place sitting on that pew. It was God's mind. You are the apple of God's eye. But he didn't just set us here to sit. He set us here to go for his harvest. We are laborers together. There's a few things that I've noticed about the fire. One, I already mentioned, it gets cold when we're away from the fire. Then I need to stay close to that fire if I want to stay warm. And two little sticks, helped that fire burn longer. And to go just like that. I also noticed that you can suffocate a fire by covering it up. You put a lid on it, suck all the life out of it, and the fire goes out. And I also noticed in the Old Testament, when the priest lit the fire, they were to tend to it and keep it burning for 24 hours a day. They were to never let the fire go out. There's a song that we sang, Brittany, I need your help. May the fire on my altar never burn out. What does that mean? What are we singing? What are we saying when we sing these songs? That's a powerful song. Lord, don't let the fire on my altar ever go out. What do we have to do to keep a fire going? We have to tend to it. We have to stoke it. We have to sometimes give it some air, some, you know, those little puffer things, whatever you call them when you have a fireplace. You know, what are they? Bellows, yes, those bellows. My mother had one of those. And you'd have to do that to the fire to keep it burning. It gives it oxygen. And then you have to put sticks in it, and you've got to put wood. My son-in-law, he likes to make 5-story high fires. He is a pyro. That's all I can say. Sylvia raised a pyro. She did. And if you don't believe me, ask our youth, because he made a fire down in, I think, Beloit, at the Beloit Church. And yeah, I think they might have had the firemen there. Don't remember. But it was pretty high. But if he's going to make a fire, it's going to be a big fire. It's a good thing he's got his own yard and a big yard, and it's on the ground, and he can do it as high as he wants, and there's no trees. But he has to tend to it. In the New Testament, in the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews 12:29 says, our God is a consuming fire. He is a consuming fire. What does it mean to be consumed? It means to have everything just to be so consumed. When a mother is giving birth or she's in labor and she is focused, when she gets to that point of just about bringing forth that child, she is consumed with what is happening in that moment, and you better get out of her way. Seriously, husbands, you know, you've been there in the room. But she is so consumed with what is about to happen. Her body, her mind, everything is preparing to bring forth birth. And you see, when the church is consumed upon God and that burning fire, and God consumes us in our worship, and God consumes us in our singing, and he consumes us in the word of God, and he consumes us with his presence, life will come forth. Because that's what God does. He births souls. His kingdom is about people. His kingdom is not busy work. His kingdom is about souls. And people have needs. Needs that I can't take care of. And this week, I have become more aware of my humanity. And more aware that it is God alone who can meet the needs. There are some serious needs that people have. I can't do anything but be there. But I can pray. And the most powerful thing that I can do is pray and encourage them and sit with them and talk with them. Jeremiah 20:9 says, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing and could not stay. The word consumed Jeremiah. He said it was like fire shut up in my bones. He couldn't be quiet. You know, he had been belittled. He had been beaten. He had been forsaken. He was the only one living for God at that time in his life. Could you imagine being the only one in Madison living for God? And then, on top of that, God said, Jeremiah, go preach to those people. What? Who am I going to preach to? They don't want to hear about you, God. They don't want to hear from me. And he said, nope, I'm not. Jeremiah said, I'm not going to talk about the Lord. I'm not opening my mouth. But then the word of God consumed Jeremiah that he couldn't be quiet. He couldn't keep his mouth quiet. He had to go forth. He was full of passion. His heart was on fire. When Paul was close to the fire, he was able to react quickly and without harm. It was a witness to the unbelievers. If we could go back to Acts chapter 4 or 28. I don't know if I gave you that or not. Sorry, Rachel. But the barbarians. What happened was Paul had just gotten out of prison. He was around this fire. They had taken him in and the disciples. They had come in. They were getting them warm. They were giving them food. They were taking care of them. Paul was still in chains. And then when that serpent attached itself to Paul, they thought for sure he was going to die. They thought for sure he's done. He's gone. And then when he didn't die, they thought he must be a god. No, he wasn't a god, but he had a God who was watching over him. And you know, sometimes, like Jeremiah, like Paul, the outside is looking in and thinking, you're going to die. You're going to die. You're going to give up. You're going to throw in the towel. You're going to quit. And the devil, the adversary, he's out there saying the same thing. Oh, I'll just keep heaping coals of fire. I'll just keep doing this. I'll keep pushing them. I'll keep knocking them down. I'll just keep this coming. I know what to do. I can destroy them. But no, church, you rise up like Paul. You get close to the fire. You hold on to what you know is truth. You keep doing what you know is the right thing to do. And as my friend Martha said, just do the right next thing. That's all you got to do. God's not asking you to do what Jeremiah did. He's simply asking us to do the right next thing. That's it. What is the right next thing? We got to stay close to the fire. When you stay close to the fire, attitudes change. Strongholds are broken. Captives are set free. Lives are changed. Hearts are mended. Stay close to the fire. If you think that your witness is not a light in this world, you're sadly mistaken. Because your witness is the greatest witness in this hour than it has ever been. In a world and an age where young people don't even know about God, young people, your witness is so imperative to our world today, you have no idea. You have no idea. But you see, God equipped us to stay close to the fire. But we have a choice. You know, they used to say, if you got to worshiping too much, you know, you got to running around and jumping and shouting. And, well, don't worry. There'll be enough wet blankets to put it out. You know, because people would say, oh, look it over there. You know, they're just going to get carried away. And I remember our pastor years and years and years ago would say, don't worry. There's wet blankets. They'll put it out. Don't worry about it. Let them be. Let them worship. Let them praise. You don't know where they got delivered from. You don't know what just happened to them. I remember several years ago, I had to do a Mother's Memorial promotion, and we were going through what we went through that particular year with our son, and I was devastated. I was devastated. And I remember I had to get up front and talk to you all about joy. I had not one bit of joy. None. I stood over in that corner and I began to sing and I began to pray and I began to praise him. And then I decided, I'm just going to dance. I'm just going to dance. I'm just going to praise you, God. And you know, for that, just that 5 or 10 minutes, I forgot about everything except Jesus. I was alone with Jesus. Nothing else mattered but being alone with Jesus. And that is our opportunity. You know, sometimes when we're at home, we forget. Turn on the music. Talk to Jesus. Pray. Seek his face. Worship him. Get into your kitchen. I remember many a times doing a dance in my kitchen. Nobody else is there. I've run through my house. I've gone down the stairs just worshiping and praising him with all of my heart. And it draws his presence because his word says he inhabits the praises of his people. If you want to be inhabited by God, praise him. Praise him with everything you got. Stay close to the fire. When we stay close to the fire, we live the same message that Paul lived. What was Paul's message? The Bible says his message was that he preached the death and resurrection and lordship of Jesus Christ. And he proclaimed that faith in Jesus guarantees a saved life. When we proclaim the death, the resurrection, the lordship of Jesus Christ in our lives, in our homes, it brings power into your home, into your churches, into your Bible studies. It is Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's new life. We must be born again and new creatures. Brother Seidel said on Friday that we need to have a relationship with God and that we must be sold out to him. We must follow his teachings in order to receive his rewards, his blessings. You see, grace is for all of us. It's for anyone. But favor is for those who love him, who serve him, who give unashamedly to him. After Paul's experience with the Jews, he was taken in by the barbarians who cared for him. God's favor was upon those disciples. God healed the barbarians. I don't know if they were actually converted. It doesn't say here, but God healed them. God prayed for them. Paul prayed for them and God healed them. Then Paul went to Rome. And then Paul, he's pleading his case to the people. And he said that for the hope of Israel, he is bound with chains. Acts 28:20. For this cause, therefore, have I called for you to see you and to speak with you, because that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain. If you feel bound with a spiritual chain right now, there's a hope for the people around you that as you continue to serve God, maybe you're serving God with a limp right now. Maybe you got a limp. Maybe something got out of joint. Maybe your hip's out of joint. Maybe your shoulder's out of joint. Maybe your nose is out of joint. Maybe something is out of joint. But I'm here to tell you that your witness to those people out there is powerful, even with your limp. It doesn't matter to God. Limp away, but do it rejoicing. Limp away. Don't give up because you got a limp. Don't give up because you stumbled. Don't give up because you moved away from the fire. Pull closer. And then if you see somebody who needs some help, pull them. Pull them. Reach out. Grab hold of their hand. Can I pray with you? Can we talk? Can we read the Bible together? What can I do to help you? How can I help you? How can I pray for you? We have to stay close to the fire. In Romans chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed by faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And how shall they hear, except there be a man sent to preach the word of God? We need to gather together. We need to hear the word. So how do we stay close to the fire? First, you got to establish your own family altar. This altar is open. It is here Wednesdays, Sundays, and anytime you want to come to the church to pray. But if you don't have a family altar, you're just coming to an altar and you're not getting into the throne room. If you don't get into the throne room, you don't have the power. You gotta get beyond the altar. Years ago, we heard a message about getting up off the altar. As Christians, we have to at some point get up off the altar. There's a kingdom job to be done. And if we don't establish our own family altar, that family altar should consist of daily prayer, the word, and praise. What is prayer? You know, sometimes I know as a young Christian, man, I'd go into my prayer room. I'd say, okay, God, I'm getting up at 6. And I'd go into my prayer room. And I'd just go and I'd sit down somewhere and find a place to pray. And I'd just read my word. And then I'd be sitting there, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you're so good. Lord, am I the only one that happened to? Yeah, that's how it started. But I kept doing it. I kept doing it. I kept doing it. And then the Lord started waking me up at 5. And then the Lord woke me up at 4. And I thought I was the only one that had that happen until Brother Campitella shared with us at this prayer conference that he had the same problem. I was so relieved because I really thought there was something wrong with me because I struggled with that initially. But then when the Lord began to speak to me and I would begin to talk back to God and I would say, okay, Lord, I don't know what to say. I'm really tired. I know you're nudging me. You're having me get up in the morning. You're wanting me to pray. But Lord, I don't know what to pray. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to pray. Show me. And you know what? The Lord began to show me his heart. Pray for so-and-so. Pray for that situation. Pray for the people in China. Pray for the homeless. Pray for the orphan. Pray for the child that's being beat down the street. Pray. Pray for others. Stand in the gap. Pray. Seek his face. If you don't know what to pray, I've got a list of 25 things to pray when you don't know what to pray. But if you will just commit to pray, it will carry out into the church. It will carry out into your workplace. But you got to have a family altar. A family altar is that place where the family gathers together. And I'm not against, you know, movies and TV and different things, but sometimes what I fear that family time has become is the family sitting around watching a movie instead of praying together, instead of talking about the goodness of God, instead of sharing with our children and our grandchildren what God has done, where he's brought us from, instead of telling them what this is all about. And I fear that that big screen is what people see and not our Bibles. We need to have a family altar. The family altar is where our children can come and say, I'm having a hard time at school. I don't want to go to school anymore. Will you pray for me? I don't feel accepted. I'm struggling with this or I'm struggling with that. I need help with my homework. This is the place where we come together and we get honest with God. God isn't afraid of honesty. He knows anyway. He knows. He knows what we're thinking, what we're feeling. He does. God, I'm angry right now. No kidding. That's what he's saying. I see that. I see that you're angry. God, I'm really frustrated right now. Yeah, I see, because you're doing it yourself. Lord, my heart is breaking. I know. And I love you. You see, God is that heavenly Father who wants to take us in his arms and wants us to be open and honest before him. He already knows. He just wants to see if we know. Do we know what we really are or what we're made of? So we have to establish our family altar. Be honest with God. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road. I need some volunteers, and I'd like them to be ages 6 and 7. Any 6-year-olds? Am I too young? Any 6-year-olds? Jamin, I might need you. You might just come on up since I saw your hand first. All right, I need some 7-year-olds. 7-year-olds. All right. We're getting there. Okay. All right. So we've got some blocks here. These blocks are really heavy. So, Jamin, I think I'm going to have you just kind of move them. Maybe I want them to have room. So I wonder if we should move them to the middle. Okay, you guys go stand right in front there by Jamin. Now, no jumping off the platform. Guys, go ahead. I just stand over there by Jamin. Second Corinthians 10:3-5 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is the crux of our everyday living. When we think of repentance, we think of, I did this, or I have to ask for forgiveness because I sinned. Repentance is something we do every day. It's a turning around. It's a transforming of our minds. It's lining up our carnal nature with the Spirit of God. It's getting our minds where they need to be on Christ. It's pulling down strongholds. It's casting out down imaginations. It's casting out those things that exalt itself. I don't know about you, but my human nature sometimes gets in the way. I got to put it down. I got to crucify my flesh. And so tonight, these young people are going to help me break some strongholds. What's a stronghold? A stronghold is something that we believe. It's a lie that we begin to believe as truth. Apathy. Okay, knock down one of those bricks. Spirit of apathy, knock it down. Whoop, they all went. That's a good hit. Woohoo. All right, well, that took care of the rest of them. So we got apathy, lack of caring, lack of getting involved, lack of putting our passion into it, just sort of going through and being there. Then there's pride, exalting ourselves above even God. Shame. Shame and pride, they're pretty close together. Guilt, arrogance, dishonesty, fear, anxiety, doubt, unbelief, unfaithfulness, jealousy, anger. These are things that will hold us back in the kingdom of God because it will not let us be fully what God wants us to be, and the enemy knows that. So he's going to fill your mind with these things. Oh, remember what you did? Oh, yeah, remember what you did? You can't do that. You can't tell that person about Jesus. No. God is saying, knock down those strongholds. I am more than enough. My grace is sufficient. So instead, here's what we're going to do, young people. Got another job. This is what we do instead. When you tear down strongholds, you replace it with something else. Think on these things. Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. We need a block for true. Can somebody get a block for true? Whatsoever things are honest, we need a block for honesty. Whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue, we need virtue. And if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And why? And the God of peace shall be with you. You need to stay close to the fire. Now, I know if I'd asked James or even Brother Powell, Tim Powell, I'd had a really cool fire, but I didn't think about it, so I didn't get a really cool fire. I just had to use Melissa and Doug campfire. So there's my fire. But you got to stay close to the fire. And just like you need oxygen on the plane before you can help others, we need to be close to the fire if we're going to help other people. If we're going to introduce them to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, we got to be close to the fire. There's got to be some passion in our heart. There's got to be some belief in our heart. If you're having a problem with belief, then say, God, help thou my unbelief. A father did that, and his son was healed. Don't underestimate your honesty before God. God isn't worried about your failings as a human being. He's concerned about your soul. That is who God is in desire of. There's a song we used to sing, it's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. We've got to stand in the need. We got to put our oxygen masks on first every morning, honest. It really is an every morning thing. Spend some time with God. Get your oxygen on first, so when you walk out of your door, you can now take the oxygen that God has breathed into you that morning, that inspired word of God that is able to discern the thoughts and the intents of a heart, that is able to unleash miracles, signs, and wonders, that powerful word of God that can change a life forever. But you've got to put your own oxygen on first, so you can help somebody that you come in contact with. If you're discouraged at seemingly unanswered prayer, seek his face. Seek his face. Get into his presence and allow the joy of the Lord to wash over you. Let his joy to renew and to strengthen you. Jesus said, when I come back to the earth, will I find faith? Will I find faith? I believe that he will, because I know he's going to find it here in Madison, a church full of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If you want to pull down some strongholds, get into the word, get some bricks, start knocking them down, mark those bricks, and then build them back up. And whatsoever things, when doubt comes in, pull out Philippians. Allow your mind to be transformed. Get rid of the old and let God bring in the new. Thank you, young people. You can go ahead and sit down. Thanks for your help. Thanks, Jamin. And if everybody would stand, and our musicians, our Sarah, our Brittany. Tonight, what I really feel in my heart, I know we have quite a few services where we come up and we pray and we ask God to, you know, clean out our hearts, search our hearts, empty us out, whatever that stronghold is. And I do believe that's important. But what I am going to ask tonight is that you simply close your eyes. You can come up to the front. You can stay in your seat. But as they are leading us in song, that you would just think about the words and sing them to God. Sing them to him. Tell him how you feel. God, yeah, I know. I know that's what you said. But tonight, God, I'm feeling really tired and I don't know what to do. God, I'm really feeling alone. Please send me somebody. Lord, my heart is just breaking tonight. Lord, will you be my comforter? Jesus, I want to be a light for you, but I'm afraid at work to open my mouth. Jesus, take away the fear and give me boldness to proclaim this gospel, because I know that the answer for this world is in the word of God. Our world is in the mess because they don't follow the word of God. Lord, I don't know what people are going through tonight. But I do know, God, that if we look to you, the author and the finisher of our faith, that you are able to do exceedingly great and mighty things. And tonight, Lord, we simply want to lift you up. We just want to glorify you. We want to magnify you because, God, you are bigger than any problem that we will ever face. It is not the problem that I want to see tonight, but I want to see you, Jesus. I want to look to you. I want to look into your face. Lord, I just want to magnify you. I want to glorify you. I want to give to you what is yours, and that is my praise. Jesus, I was created for you. I was created to worship you. I was created to love you and to have fellowship with you. And tonight, God, I look to you. I look to you, God. I praise your name. Yes, Lord, things aren't looking too good, But Jesus, you're looking better every day. I need you, Jesus. I need you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus, help me just to stay close to that fire. Yes, Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Come and move with me and fill me once again.